Anna Maria, how are you?
Oh, mate, I don't know. I'm like okay. I'm okay, not okay. You know, okay, not okay. Yeah, I'm
Oh,
okay.
yeah. Yeah, that's my state of being like 75% of the time, I think. I think that's a good state of being to be in, and we don't like give it its credit. So, how are you? Okay, not okay.
I'm like, I find that the festive season's a lot, isn't it? And
Oh,
it's
God.
very sociable. There's lots of traveling that I have to do for things like work and go and see my dad. Well, I don't have to do that, obviously, but actually I do. I need to go to York for work, and just like everything feels like a lot at the moment, and everything feels really overwhelming. I feel completely overwhelmed and nothing is working. Things keep breaking. I'm just Anyway, this is not a positive way to start the podcast.
It's an honest way to start the podcast, and that's what we strive for, is it not?
We do strive for honesty. You know, sometimes when you've got, I think as a freelancer as well, when you've got so many projects on the go at once, and I'm mostly quite good at keeping on top of all of them, I just get so worried about ones that I know that I've got coming up that I haven't done the work for, even though I know that I can do the work
Oh,
quickly.
God, yeah.
Well, and then it would just be on my mind until I do it. So really, I should just do it now rather than in a month, because then I stop thinking about it.
Yeah, but it's so hard to gauge like how long it's actually going to take you. And then that's a recipe for burnout. And I think I was thinking about this a while ago, and I've realized that I'm not a perfectionist. I wish I were a perfectionist, then my standards would be better. But I am a completionist,
Yes.
right? I love things being done. Like good, not perfect. Yeah, ideal, but I want everything to be done. And I find it really hard to just let something sit. And otherwise, with the freelance life, like I certainly do have various things on the go because you can't say no to things because you don't know when the next bit's going to come up. But yeah, I wish I could say, like, and this is how you fix it, but I haven't figured that out either. So when you, whichever one of us figures it out first, we'll let the other one know, yeah.
Thanks. I love that. How are you? Your hair, I love this new hairstyle you've got going on. For the benefit of the listener, I'm going
I was
a kind of cute, quite French middle parting and a kind of slicked over rather than slicked back look.
that is so sweet of you to say, because I think I fully entered my 90s heartthrob stage of growing out a pixie cut, which is the most awkward. And I was slumping around the house in a big, like, cos granny cardigan with my glasses on and my hair done like this. And I said to David, "Do you like your wife from the East Berlin during the Cold War?" Because that's what I'm going for at the moment. Yeah, I'm trying to grow my hair. That's a wonderful thing to do when you are set on something and yet, crucially, a very impatient person. I'm genuinely all right, thanks, love. I really feel for you because I've just come back from a couple of days of holiday where I've mainly ate cheese and chocolate and didn't really leave this fancy Airbnb that David and I got, which is just down the road. There's something about doing absolutely fuck all in somewhere that isn't your own house, which I feel like everyone deserves, because we managed to get this time being the freelancers. And again, I'm not saying like everyone should do this because like it's self-care and for your mental health, because not everyone can do this. Like, we are in a very lucky position in that we are able to do this. But we were like, the holidays are coming up and that's a lot. So let's just have like our own really like sort of chill out, because David's been wicked busy. And I really wanted him to have like a couple of days of like focusing on switching off. Even though we did a little bit of work, bless him, because you can't tear him away, but at least it was like an effort was made, whereas I just kicked back and did nothing and mainly slept. And I totally get what you mean about the festive period. It is a lot. And the way that I think of the festive period is that it's like putting everything under a microscope. So simultaneously, you can see things in minute detail which make you feel really grateful and appreciative. But then also you see things in minute detail and it blows everything out of proportion. Your perspective just shifts in a way that it doesn't the rest of the time of the year. And I don't know. I'm kind of dreading it, but at the same time, sort of not. I think because I'm fully in the, I think I'm still just high on tryptophan from all the cheese I've eaten. So I'm like, it'll be fine. It'll be fine. But I'm all right. We've had a little break, which I think has been very good for both of us. Do you want to tell me what you did on your break? It's not holiday. I think this is something the podcasters need to say more often, because I think there is that very like childlike idea of if a podcast doesn't come out, somehow everyone's just like kicking back. And for us, it was very much, no, life happened.
Yeah, life happened. So I'm, you know, to our very dedicated listeners, we took a break because while I was at a wedding in Cyprus, with Manila Stunduris, or many of them, my grandma fell, and anyone that listens knows that I have very close, intense, if not occasionally toxic relationship with my grandmother that also takes on quite a caring role too. And that was obviously very distressing. She then went to hospital in Brighton, where I went up every day to see her. And though it was very difficult, it was quite moving, and she was relatively lucid. She then moved to a rehab facility, which was wonderful. And well, I mean, they're incredible. I don't know how they do it or put up with her, to be honest. But and she was okay. She kind of got into it, but that is temporary. And very recently, she is now living in a care home, which in theory is a permanent arrangement. But as many people will understand, nothing is very permanent about these things, really, because you could go at any time. Social workers could decide it's not good for you, the money could run out, etc., etc. So basically it's been very intense, and it's been a lot. And unfortunately, in the last few days, actually, she's basically what I would describe as had like a psychotic episode, and is now at maybe her most sassy. Very hard to know how much she understands. I think a lot of it is coming from a kind of place of like real trauma in her past that must be coming up. Obviously, this also really complicates grief. I feel like so many things at the same time. Like, I feel really grateful that someone else is looking after her, and I feel really guilty that I'm not. I feel really helpless because I can't do anything, but I also feel very supported and protected by the people around me. I feel like I don't want her to live like this, but I also don't want her to die like this. You know, I feel all of these things. I feel, you know, her behavior, you know, she's difficult. Her behavior is bad, and it's hard as kind of someone's granddaughter who they doted on for years to just accept, you know, being asked, told to leave and given awful looks. And, you know, basically she, you know, the look she gives is, how could you fucking have done this to me? And in many ways, being able to leave that situation and have that boundary is nice and is new and is good for me. But similarly, you know, I know that a couple of miles away, she's sitting there having a horrible time, and it's just a lot. So we took a bit of time off the podcast just because, and, you know, and then having to carry on with life, you know, keep running my day job. It's quite day to day ish. You know, you can't really just take that time. I've got a book coming out next year, which is with a friend of mine. So we had to write that quite quickly. More on that soon. And just like lots of life. So sometimes something has to go. And I think we do need to practice what we preach and take that time when we need to. But, you know, I'm really looking forward to January, when we'll be recording loads. We've already lined up our first guest. And obviously, as ever, if you want to come on, do drop us a line, because we love hearing from you. So that's a bit of me. And you know what? I'd be lying if I said like I was completely fine. I keep falling asleep. I'm really tired. I'm actually quite sad. Like, I'm okay, but I'm sad. I feel very grievy, anticipatory, grieving for my mum, grieving for the life that, like, I feel like my grandma could have had if she'd had the kind of adequate mental health care or even knowledge that we're lucky enough to have these days. You know, I feel bad for my uncles. They're obviously having a bad time. I just feel it's a great shame to live for so long and to die so kind of badly.
It's just a simple little break for you then.
A holiday.
Just kick back. I think to pick up on what you said there about the mourning that you have for the life that your grandma could have had, I think is really interesting, because I think a lot of us in one way or another have a greater awareness of that as leaps forward are made, and how drastic it is between the first people to die of COVID and people getting it now that they're vaccinated. And it's like, how can the same thing be so different, and how desperately unfair life is, which is why we need to be fair to each other and ultimately be fair to ourselves. And I think that's what you're doing, you know, and it's not your fault that the systemic care that is provided in this country, as incredible as the people in this care home are in their immediate care, isn't necessarily resourced to give people the dignity that they want. And fundamentally, your grandma's angry at herself and her lack of independence. And there's no way that you can love her into getting that back.
Yeah,
I think it's about being able to hold that for her, which you do. And I personally, for one, am very glad that you've got the boundary. We've had texts about this. And
I'm happy about my boundaries, Em. You're not the only one. Honestly.
Big fan of Anna's boundaries. It's really difficult, and there's nothing neat I can say. Like, this is the whole point, isn't it? We know there are no kind of like handy aphorisms that just sort of sum this up. Unfortunately, we just have to live within the mystery. And I don't think growing pains ever really stop. And I think this is just, you know, because you have such a big heart, and that you are concerned about everyone, and you're aware of everyone and how they're feeling. And as much as you want to fix this, it's not a fixable thing.
No. Yeah, I think that's it. When there is no option for control, the only thing I could control before is seeing her. And that did used to be a tonic for her. And at the moment, it is absolutely not good, clearly, for her or me. So I just have to accept that at the moment. But anyway, what have you done with your holiday apart from your hair?
Well, apart from growing my hair, and I'm still getting used to how much that I can actually talk about things or not, but I think I can broadly say that I'm a recovering alcoholic in the early stages of...
I feel like clapping. Do you network. Clap?
I'll take a clap. Thank you. Woo! Oh, no. It's my true addiction. Approval. Never going to shake that one. And it's great. And all I'll say is that I've met some really astounding, wise, honest, flawed, brilliant people in a very short space of time. And as someone who does not, firmly does not believe in a certain conception of God and fate and predestination, I still like the synchronicity of some of the people that have come into my life. Maybe we're just all on the same wavelength, but I think Trudes would definitely approve of a lot of them, and yeah, so I dig that. What was I gonna say? Yeah, I'm really digging sobriety. I think it, like, I haven't reached a point where it's truly challenging yet, because obviously I'm dealing with a lot of feelings that I wasn't dealing with before. There's so many feelings to deal with, Anna. I thought I'd dealt with a lot of them, and they just keep on coming. But I haven't been in a situation where I've been like directly challenged. I haven't felt like I've wanted a drink, but I know that's wishful thinking to think that's just it. That's me now, because we all know what life will throw at us. But there's a lot of kind of crossover, funnily enough, in terms of, I don't think me at this point going into sobriety and looking for the support in sobriety and recovery, I don't think I felt as odd as I think a lot of people very understandably would, as they would first approach this, because part of me was like, oh, you're all talking about booze, whereas I normally talk about death, right? So there was this kind of weird thing of like, oh, it's all, oh, something, you can just swap out the term. So it felt like coming home in a lovely new way of like, oh, okay, cool. So I've been up to that, and also just feeling like I don't know, I think I'm managing to shake my sort of like my need to absolutely know what I'm doing and where I'm going, because I had that for the longest time, and it's only really over the past kind of, well, you could argue unconsciously decade and then consciously past couple of years of like shedding some things and trying to be more okay with like, I don't know when I'm next going to do stand up. I said no to the Fringe this year, Anna.
I'm not even a comedian. I mean, a paid comedian. But
oh, but sweetheart, neither am I.
I was like, can I just tell you the joke that I was about to make before?
Yes,
I
please.
You know when those sirens went past you?
Yeah.
I was going to say that's the smug police.
They've got me banged to rights. That's 100% it. That's the problem. I have to check myself because sometimes I'm like, I've been wanting this sort of me and my pals, should we say, generally refer to it as serenity. And now I'm like, oh God, am I like levitating? Am I being this obnoxious? It's like, you're toxic now. You stop taking in toxins and you just pump them out.
No, I'm really into it and I'm so proud of you. That I wouldn't be authentic if I didn't say it.
And that's what we want. We want the whole fucking spectrum because that's the way you get all the colours.
Saying no to the Fringe is a boundary. Yeah.
It is, thank you. It 100% is, because I've had like plans of other things I'd like to do. And I just realised, and I hope lots of other people are realising, I think it's interesting to see what will happen, but the kind of the urge and the urgency and the attitude of like, if you're not at the Fringe, then you're not, I think and hope is falling away slightly. And also like the Fringe will be there another time. I had to ask myself like genuinely, like, am I ready to go? Do I, you know what? Not even that. Purely, do I want to go? And it's like, no, you know what? I really don't. And it doesn't mean forever and ever. It's just this year, not for me. Plus I have other plans I want to do to spend $4,000 that won't be like burning it as much. And that's a cheap estimate. So there's that. I'm also, I've just about calmed down from watching the first two episodes of I'm Just Like That, the Sex and the City reboot slash. All right, I'll put are you all right if I spoil it? Yeah, you personally.
Do I look like someone that is a blind fuck about Carrie Bradshaw?
See, I knew you wouldn't, but I wanted to make sure. I will put a warning for anyone who does. Right, so the thing is that at the end of the first episode, Big Carrie's husband dies of a heart attack.
Oh my gosh, is that Alec Baldwin?
No.
This is how much I know.
Chris Knopf.
Hemsworth? Chris Hemsworth.
Chris Knopf. Oh, Chris Hemsworth. A Chris? It's a Chris. And honestly, the second episode has some of the best portrayals of grief and,
really?
Oh, honestly, that I've ever seen on TV. And I was like, crying the whole way through, because what it manages to show really perfectly, and I feel like it should be like grief 101, like there should be a package that you could open. It's like, here's a book, here's the stuff, here's like a TV show, here's a film, all of the stuff for everyone to get some kind of hold on it. Because the thing that's genius about it is that Carrie is kind of doing the funeral for she, and it's the way that I felt about the funeral as well. It is not actually for the people organising the funeral. They're doing it for the person who's dead.
Yeah.
And then everyone else is still, it's a part of their lives. But there's grief thieves. There's like weird, obviously coined by Seb Burt, need to give him his credit. There's also like people who are using this as an event in their lives to kind of, they don't actually understand the magnitude of what's happened to Carrie, and they are making it about themselves. And like, there's awkwardness and good things to say, bad things to say. No one's perfect all the way through. And I was just so taken aback, and I'm like, oh man, yeah, okay. Let's see how this goes and how kind of the portrayal of grief happens. It's definitely 100% better than the films. We'll just ignore they ever happened.
The films were bad, weren't they? They were quite.
The second one was like so deeply racist. But yeah, no, now we're just ignoring that. I mean, in the And Just Like That world, the coronavirus has happened. But oh god, anyway. So I felt a little bit buoyed by a sort of all of the things to represent and to bring these characters back for. It's like, I think they've hidden it fantastically well until it's come out this week that like, oh no, it's going to be about grief, guys. And that's what this is about. And I used to watch it with Trudes, Sex and the City, back in the day. So there's something quite kind of weird, obviously, about that. And I'm also like, there's sort of a, like, fuck you life, for the benefit of the listener, I'm swearing at the air, in that New Year's Eve will now always be the day I found out that Jules died.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
And I used to be such a New Year's Eve person. And now I'm like, okay, that's coming up. And it still just like doesn't feel real at all. And the fact that it had been a year, and what a year. And like, I think there's so much in terms of, like, we've only really just started to, as a society, begin to sort of scratch the surface of the sort of ambiguous grief that we're dealing with, as well as the like concrete continuing grief. So it's a bit of a mess, isn't it? That's the only way that I can, but I have hope in a lot of angry people, even if they're people that I disagree with the majority of the time. If they're getting angry with me, as in we are both angry, we are all angry together, that's what I'm holding on to. I think that's what we can hopefully utilise.
Are you referring to the number 10's Christmas party?
I might be, yeah. I might be just seething again. I like it. It's amazing to just like continually be so angry. And I don't want to derail us too much, but I do think it's such a, like, in terms of the grief of this country, the number of people who were forced not to see people, that could have been their last opportunity to see so many people. And like, they've completely fucking misjudged it. And I want everyone to get really angry. And I want to kick them into the sun. Because as I've said before, the one thing I'm really grateful for in the odd kind of, I think when Jack Chell was on, we spoke about this a bit, the weird stages of grief that come after the five kind of classic ones, which you and I don't really give much credence to anyway, but being like, oh, a stage of grief that I'm grateful my mum died when she did. And now the horror that I feel for everyone who's having to say goodbye to their loved ones through an iPad.
Oh my God, I know exactly what you mean. I do. It's, and I was thinking this in my own context with my grandma as well, thinking, God, I'm glad she doesn't have to see this. And I'm glad she doesn't have to see this pandemic. I'm glad that one great person is spared of all this bullshit.
Yeah, completely. It's it's a lot for us all to get through, but I don't want to sound too Pollyanna-ish or smug or like, now I've swapped my there they are. They'll be battering my door next. And like, I've swapped my fucking beer goggles for rose tinted glasses. But I do believe there are a lot of people who are very angry. I don't know how to fix it. I'm not gonna say that neatly, but I don't know. it's
I've been kind of like low level seething for the last 2 days, and actually because I've been at home a lot, working at home, and I often have the telly on in the background, you know, the rolling news and all of this, and it's just like, fucking hell, what is going on? But know what, let's not give that the airspace, because quite frankly everyone's talking about it, and this might really date the show, because to be honest, I would like to think by the time this comes out in a few days or weeks, that the Tories, this Tory party as we know it, will be a thing of the past, and maybe number 10 will have spontaneously combusted.
That'd be amazing.
Wouldn't that be amazing?
Oh my god, that's all I want for Christmas.
All I want for Christmas is spontaneous combustion of the Tory party. Let's talk about the next season of The Mother of All Losses.
Yeah, I'm so grateful for this. And I think it's also really nice to come back to it after some time, because I think the break was exactly the right point for us, and the right reason for both of us to do it, because I think there's something about being honest, and that we are as honest as we can be without being like raw, because I think that's what we want for our guests. And I think that's the only responsible way for us to do it as hosts too. But I love getting back into the saddle and the rhythm of it. And I miss meeting all of these women.
Me too.
And by that, I mean the mothers, because you know, you meet the, like, I come away feeling like I've met someone new rather than, I mean, we have a laugh, don't we, Anna? It's not always a downer.
Oh, it's a hoot.
Yeah. And I like thinking to who we've sort of spoken to thus far, like, I think Rob Florence is going to stick with me for a long time. And I wonder how much that's kind of, you know, that his situation is quite relevant to yours right now.
I was just talking about that yesterday in therapy, actually, and about how much it resonated, and however much someone loves you in life, if they start to turn on you in later life and or death, which I think we, you know, need to refer to, or makes me understand it more to refer it to as, it's very hard to hold on to that love.
Oh God, absolutely. So hard.
Because you just, yeah.
Because you work on what you have in front of you, and it doesn't matter if you intellectually tell yourself they're not well, still goes right to your heart. It's still what it feels. And I think we're still living in an age where we don't really talk about death enough. We don't talk about dying. We don't talk about like sorting out our, you know, Swedish death cleaning or writing your will or anything that should be like as simple as like, well, if you have a car, you get car insurance, like you can't do it without it. And I think that's the same as being alive anyway. But at the same time, it's the idea that like the way you die and your death is so significant that that's like the biggest part of your story. Mm-hmm. And it's not, like, it's a part of our stories, which we'll all share. Spoiler alert, sorry. But it still doesn't take away that it's hell to live through. Like living through death is like kind of hard, guys. But I'm looking, yeah. So I'm, and I take something from every conversation we have.
The amount of people that have channeled their grief and anguish into creativity that we had on the last season was amazing, wasn't it? It did just kind of work out that way.
It did, because we never set out to have a particular secret overarching theme from season to season. They just kind of cluster in a really lovely kind of organic way. Mm. And yeah, the kind of the different, like, what we've had films. I'm just thinking also in general, just sort of what we've had, like films, art, as in like fine art, like painting and murals, and so much writing. I think there's something quite special about like reading novels, because it feels like it's someone talking in your head. And again, with podcasts, I think grief works really well for podcasts because it's disembodied. I think it's somehow lends itself that much more. How do you feel about the upcoming series, Anna Maria?
I missed it so much, and I agree that, you know, the break was what we needed, or we were, well, I mean, I certainly was kind of just going to fizzle and burn, and I wasn't in the right headspace. My concentration is terrible, really, at the best of times, and particularly recently. But I'm really looking forward to, I mean, really, genuinely, that weekly space, safe space to talk about it. And that is by no means saying that I'm not surrounded by people that would listen all day, every day, but it's not the same. And I love, like you said, I love hearing about people's mums. I love asking people afterwards, you know, when we hit pause or stop, and saying, you know, how do you feel? Are you okay? And unanimously, there has not been one time when someone has not said, oh my gosh, I didn't think I'd enjoy that. I didn't realize how much I needed that. And I can't believe how good I feel.
Yeah.
And mate, like, that is it. That's why we do it. And that's why it's so important. And that's why we're going to carry on doing it. So I'm asking you, if you're listening to this and you'd like to be asked the questions that we ask on the podcast, do get in touch. Email us at themotherofalllosses@gmail.com. We're on Instagram and Twitter at TMOALpod. Like, please just send us a little bit about yourself and about your story, because we'd love to speak to you.
Yeah, we're here. This is the platform, this little space that we have made. It's, yeah, I know exactly what you mean. There's something different about the quality of what we do. And by quality, I mean like the nature of it, like than having a chat with someone close to us, because I think this is more of a kind of, like, grief oscillates. I can't remember the name of the clever person that came up with this, but they did a nice little diagram, which was like, grief is kind of oscillating between two spheres of behavior, moods, feelings. And one's very positive, which is like feeling gratitude, like laughing about stories about your loved one and doing stuff in the memory of them. And then obviously there's the more sort of like painful, not saying that that's not painful, but like the stereotypically more negative, so painful side of just being like, well, fucking wretched, you know? And I feel like the podcast gives me that point to be sort of like, I feel more positive in listening to other people's grief and being able to share a bit of my own, but it's also not, it's not therapy, because we have therapists because we take care of ourselves. So that's my space to just be like, can you believe it, folks? I get even more self-indulgent. But that's my, like, I've paid for my space to be like, so this is all about me, and I'm worried that this person doesn't like me anymore, and I'm not sure if I said the right thing here, because I will need that till the day I die and probably beyond. I think that's what, if anyone tries to contact me in a seance, I'll just be like, do you still like me?
Does this mean you really like me or you really don't? I just need to know. It's okay either way.
you pick yes or no. Yeah, no, we'd absolutely love to hear from you, because that's what we're here to do, quite frankly. And we're awaiting your call.
Absolutely. And here is my annual Christmas disclaimer, that have a good time if you have a good time. If you're having a shit time, you know, that's absolutely fine. If you need, you know, do whatever you need to do to get through this period. It can be wonderful and distracting. It can also be intensely lonely. The reminder of other people's families and togetherness and the adverts and everything I often find quite triggering, which is why I normally escape for Christmas. But you need to do what you need to do in your grief for Christmas.
100%. And then a plug for Let's Talk About Loss, because obviously we are big fans of them here. Keep an eye out for events that they do. They'll run like quite a few happy crappy Christmas, as they call it, events over the festive period, and they sell a really fantastic range of bereavement Christmas cards, which,
really?
Oh god, yeah. They also do care packages. I think if you look on the, like, on Etsy and Let's Talk About Loss, you'll find everything there, and also on the website, because Beth French is a genius, as we all know. But the bereaved Christmas cards are some of my favourites. Because if you don't know what to say, that's fine. But the cards are generally pretty top-notch to fill in the gaps for you. And yeah, just echoing absolutely everything that you said, you don't have to have a good day, you don't have to have a bad day, you can just have a day. Like, ultimately, the 25th of December is a Saturday this year, and that's what it's going to be.
And we will be.
Yes, it's just, who doesn't
love
TGIF / Christmas Eve. And we'll be waiting for you on the other side of the next year with open arms. So, not to be too Jerry Springer, but take care of yourselves and each other.
And check in with your grieving friends.
Oh, God, please. Yes. Even if it's just like a really stupid meme, like particularly Succession memes. I'm just obsessed with Succession, Anna. It's just the best thing. What am I going to do? What am I going to do when the last episode of this series is out next week? I don't know. It's fine. I'll cross that bridge when I come to it.
You have a lot more energy since you stopped drinking.
Haven't I? Maybe arguably too much. Maybe this is why I started drinking in the first place, to feel normal. But no, I'm also, I am drinking a lot of caffeine. That's the stage that I'm at.
I am taking quite a lot of cocaine.
Just, you know, a little bit of smack. There's meetings for that as well, just so everyone knows.
Merry Christmas, everybody.
Merry fucking Christmas.